Praise God. Amen. Father, we just want to thank you this morning. Lord, I dedicate my mind, my lips and my tongue, my voice box, my entire self to you, Lord. Use it, Lord, as a vessel for you. As I speak, Father, nothing of mine will come, but only of yours will be spoken, so that your children, your saints here, in all their wisdom, will accept the word which is spoken by you, and you, Lord, will deal with them, and Lord, you will speak to them personally, Father God, the Lord, so that your name shall be magnified and glorified in their lives. In the most precious name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. Sometimes back, I did talk about book of Nehemiah. And today I'm going to read again on Nehemiah, but I'm going to talk about leadership today morning. The theme of the message today is significant leadership as a Christian. Significant leadership as a Christian. A Christian has to have leadership. Every one of us lead. I was told that there was a good message last week about even talking about how do you serve God in your own way. But having a significant leadership is important. All of us are leaders in our own lives. Amen. Thank you. So those of you who want to come in front, come in front. Okay? Don't worry, I will not bite any one of you. Come in front. So I feel close to you. Leadership is one of the things that, you know, as Christians, we are called as leaders. Amen? We are called as leaders. That's why we say kingly people and priestly people. Kingly, priestly people are people who are called, and we are called to be one of them. So today, as we talk about leadership, we talk about something that Nehemiah has done, and we want to see how, through Nehemiah, how a Christian life should be like as a leader. Amen? Through Nehemiah's life experience, we will see what we have as a Christian life. Amen. Let's look at the overview. Let's look at the things of the time before. You see, most of the times the leaders, you know, Old Testament life, you'll find the most captivating thing for me is Nehemiah. I've spoken about him a couple of times because it's something from nowhere he became somebody overnight. Amen. He was nobody, but God made him to be somebody because of a vision he caught. Amen. Remember, I spoke to you about a few weeks ago that we talked about during the seminar. This is the follow up of the seminar. The seminar you all came for, we said we must capture the vision, right? First of all, we must have the compassion and the vision, and with the compassion and the vision, we will run the race. Amen? There will be transformation. So today, we must capture the vision. The vision that he has caught, there was a vision that he had. Because of this vision that he had, and because of what convicted him, that is what he kept on running. Amen? So today you'll find, in Nehemiah, you'll find he's something, he reflects about us as a Christian. He is not even in Jerusalem. He was not in Jerusalem when he was called to build the walls of Nehemiah, of Jerusalem. Nehemiah was in the citadel. You'll find that he was already out of the place. He was already, he came out of the place 140 over years, about 150 years before Babylonians. It's already past 150 years now. Babylonians took away Israelites, from Jerusalem, and the city was burned down. It took about 150 years after that. Nehemiah, who was not even born in Jerusalem, has got a compassion. I spoke about our destiny, and I think the last time I spoke about destiny, and our destiny, God has got a plan, God has got. Today I want to talk about leadership of Nehemiah. It's actually a personal diary of Nehemiah. You know, just imagine you all are keeping diaries every day in your life. Are you keeping diaries? How many of you write diaries? You're scared somebody else will have a peep of your diary. I used to write diary a lot last time. But now I've not. But I've started back writing because it's some of the things that God gives me, I write it and keep it so that it comes to happen or some not. So some of the things that I do every day, you can see it up there. There's a diary which I keep and I do what I do every day. So I know what I'm doing every day. I see the space empty and I know I'm not working for the Lord. Amen. You must come down and pray. Amen. So God is asking us to do something. So you know, it's about his diary is about his plans. The plans he had. The diary is about his prayers. The diary is about his achievements, accomplishments in his life. And the diary is about his reflection of his life. Amen. So when we keep a diary of our lives, our life score, and we say today we keep a diary, it's about a personal life of yourself, detailing yourself personally, detailing of yourself, of your goals, of the visions that you have, the plans that you have. Then after that, you talk about how it was prayerful in your life that your prayer upon the visions that you have that came to pass, that Nehemiah had. Then he achieved the things that he had achieved, thought of before, the plans. Then achievements and reflections, reflecting that God was able to be in him, and was it was God who pulled him through all the ways in his life. Amen? A diary that takes you around, not only back, but brings you forward to the next level of your life. Historically, you'll find in the year 586 BC, before Christ, the nobles and the people's rulers of Babylon came down. They took away all the nobles and the people of Israelites away from Babylon and from Jerusalem and brought them after to Babylon. After some time in Babylon, the Persians sacked the Babylonians, and after that moved on to the capital Susa. That was their capital in Susa, that you'll find citadel, that you'll find here in Nehemiah chapter 1. And you'll find that he's gone to exile. And during the time, there was this king, Zerubbabel, and then rebuilt the temple in 516 BC, yet of Jerusalem, the walls of Jerusalem, but yet the ruins were still there. It was not built again. Then you'll find Nehemiah finding favor in King Artaxerxes. I really can't pronounce his name. Artaxerxes. So you really find that he found favor in him. First he rejected. Right? He rejected. King Artaxerxes rejected Nehemiah. But you see, there was something that attracted the King Artaxerxes, that he gave favor to him. What was that gave favor to him? What did that Artaxerxes found inside Nehemiah that gave favor to him? When you read the chapter 1, you'll find chapter 1 verse 1 to 4 and verse 11, you'll find he had integrity. Number one, integrity. A leadership has got to have integrity. Amen. A leadership integrity is very important in our life. Integrity in our life, the Bible talks about integrity through and through from the beginning to the end. A Christian integrity is seeked for in our Christian life. Amen. Integrity, without integrity, our character will be spoiled. Integrity is very important. Amen. I remember our pastor, former pastor, my pastor who was here, and she has retired from here, and she always say this, those of them who are here, say, you must mean what you say and say what you mean. Amen. It's a word always, is that you must mean what you say and say what you mean. So integrity is one of the things, the characters that we have in our life. The character which is built in life, you'll find when you read one verse 1 onto 4 onwards and verse 11. And the words of the Nehemiah, of Nehemiah the son of Hakaliah, it came to pass in the month of Cheslev in the 20th century, as I was in Shushan, the citadel, that Hanani, one of my brethren, came with men from Judah, and I asked them concerning the Jews which had escaped, who had survived the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. And they said to me, the survivors who are left from the captivity in the province are there in great distress and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem is also broken down, and its gates were burned with fire. So it was when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned for days, for many days. I was fasting and praying before the God of heaven. You see, the integrity he had is that he is a man of godly. He knows how to have compassion. Amen. A man of integrity will have compassion in his heart. Amen. He knew the compassion of God. He knows the heart of God. A man of integrity knows the heartbeat of God. If you do not know the heartbeat of God, you cannot be like Christ, Christly-like. Amen. And many of us say, I'm still struggling, Lord, Pastor, you don't understand, I'm still struggling in my past life, and you know, I'm still there, I'm not worthy. But you see, integrity is important in our life, because you know why? If God has cleansed us, when we move into Christianity, we have to have integrity. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Amen. So integrity is one of the important things that he talks about. You will find in Ezra, when he talks about this man, verse 11 says, oh Lord, I pray, please let your ear be attentive to the prayer of your servant and to the prayer of your servants who desire to hear your name, to fear your name, and let your servant prosper this day, I pray, and grant him mercy in the sight of this man, for I was the king's cup bearer. You know, his prayer was very simple. He had the God's heart inside his heart. What favored, what man, what did the king Artaxerxes found in him? He was a godly man. He was a godly man. A man that would not break things of God. He will never hurt God first. Anything that God says, it is true to him, and he'll follow it by every word. This man was a godly man. This man went look for favor. To get the favor, first of all, he must have seen that man's integrity. Integrity is godly man, number one. He had this integrity of godly manship. That he had, Nehemiah had led, not only had this compassion, but you'll find that he was nobody in the government of the kingdom that time. Nehemiah was nobody. You'll find there could be around thousands of people at a time serving the king to protect the king from any harm. If you look at it, if you look at the history, you'll find during the time there were many people willing to go up to kill this man because they have ruined the entire, Babylonians have ruined the entire state of the nations around that time. So would you just imagine, wouldn't a group of them gather together, we'll become, today we've got all these people, you know, suicidal bombers and all kind of words that we find here today. We've got all those people do things for their own sake. But don't you think that during the time there would be also people like that? Rising up and saying, so the king has to protect himself. It said that there were about 15,000 or more workers in there to defend him alone every day. His food has to be tested. His drinks has to be tested before he drinks. So if there is a poison put onto a food, surely the first man who eats it will die. Surely the first man who drinks the drink will die first before the king. So they are people standing in front for him as a person to guard him so that he will not be in trouble, but the people who are in there in trouble. So Nehemiah was one of them. Nobody. Only people who was found that to be nobody are put there to die for the king. Can you just imagine? Whom do you choose? Whom do you choose? You know, during the time you'll see Proverbs, the person who is deaf, who can't hear, use him to use in the armor where you can put explosives. You cannot hear whatever things like. Right or not? Huh? Proverbs very powerful, very beautiful. No, when you see the work the people is given, those who have got no or death can put them where they can put all the gunpowder and blast the things out. They don't need any. So the government don't have to waste any buying all those equipments to block their ears. Right? Those people who cannot see, they have also got a job. Those people who cannot walk also have got a job. So everybody has got a job according to what they have. According, you'll find in Proverbs. You know, go back and see. You'll find there's a lot of things that we can learn from Proverbs. So this man, they are put in front so that even if they die, they are already blind, their mind, it's okay. If they are already deaf, it's okay. Right now, they are not found to be worthy in front of the king. Right? He will never put his prime minister in front to go and be killed. Would you put somebody important to be going and killed in front? No. So these are the people who are worthy. If you look at it, if you look at the inside of the Nehemiah's job, he was looked at none worthy. But yet he found favor because he was a godly man. Amen. A godly man, leadership has to have integrity and godliness. Integrity comes through godliness. Amen. Integrity comes through godliness. In Ezra, you'll find rebuilding the walls. King Ahasuerus refused, you know, to build. You know, you'll find in Ezra chapter 4, verse 18 to 22, you'll find that he refused. But he still supported him in his mission. The mission that he had is to go down to build the walls in front of him. Integrity is actually defined as behaviors and decision that which we consistently is in line with your principles. Integrity is thinking or the behavior, the decision you make and the behavior of yourself is in line with your principles. So there must be principles in that. What kind of principles will we have as leader? Leadership should not have a principle of the man, but must have the principles of God. Amen? If we don't have that kind of principles, we will not lead our life very well. There are many times we can be swayed away. A leadership has got to have that kind of principle. That is why Nehemiah, I like him very much. Even though there were so many things that happened to him, that he found himself to be in a place like Joseph. He found himself, whatever problems he had, he always found himself in favor of God. Nehemiah had to face one of the most venomous, I should say, the kingdom at the time. A destructive kingdom. A kingdom who was really bad. Then God allowed them to be so bad, so that they can teach. You'll find the character is the first thing that you have to know. So constantly, the word of God teaches us, the Bible teaches us, number one, character. Character has got of a person must have minister, not only in his family life relationship, must be good. Alright? Self-discipline is important. reflecting a positive testimony in the workplace is important. Workplace testimonies is so important. So sometimes we say, I'm a Christian, but you see, my family is okay, but my principles in work ethics is different. Right? Yesterday, I was coming out from the plane. I wanted to borrow an umbrella from Air Asia. I hope Air Asia doesn't listen to this. All right. So it was raining. I want to go and get my car the other side. So after the brother was beside me. I won't mention his name. He was beside me as we were walking around. We took the umbrella, went inside. After that, there was nobody taking the umbrella. There was no place for me to put the umbrella. So I was carrying the umbrella all the way up to the immigration, came out of the immigration, and then went out still there's nowhere to put the umbrella. So I was still carrying the umbrella until my car. I found from the place I thought there'll be rain. It will stop raining. God says, no, I don't want rain. So you didn't have confidence in me. And I thought back, you know, why did I take this umbrella and walk all the way to my car? The umbrella is still in my car. So I've decided today to go back and give the umbrella back to the place there. That's again integrity. God was pricking me in my mind the whole night. The small thing, but that's integrity. God's integrity is different from man's integrity. It is small. But the whole night my God was pricking me. And I said, Lord, okay, I will take it back today and give it to them. I'll drive up to the place and I'll give it back to them. It's important for us integrity, you know. Because God has got to give our daily life. I mean, say, inside the church, I'm holy. Outside of the church, I can do anything. Then there is no integrity. Then your family life also, no integrity. You come here very nicely, loving buddy. Go there and you quarrel like nobody's business. Don't even face each other the whole day. Is that the kind of marriage we want? Some of us seek marriages very fast. But is that what we want? Character has to be changed. God has got to change the character first. Our character has to be molded. I tell you, I've stopped now counseling, but I tell you the counseling, it takes, when you talk about marriage, it takes so much of the energy of mine and the wisdom of God has got to be with us to see what they've done wrong. See, sometimes they point each other's fingers, but they don't see the character of their character. The character is very important. That is why Timothy, in 1 Timothy, you'll find, in 1 Timothy, the verses I can give it to you, go back, check. As the elders were all were selected, in 1 Timothy 3, you'll find that there is a character before you become a pastor or even an elder of the church. You have to pass that. I did tell my pastor last time, Pastor, you must be crazy to call me to become a pastor. And she says, I hope you don't show this to her also. I did it. This German lady got angry. How can you say I'm crazy? Right? But you see, God in his own ways, in craziness, he does good for sometimes. My character could have been not been good at that time. God has to mold me first. There was a long process of molding. It was very painful, you know. It's very, very painful. If you've gone through some character changing or character building, you'll find it's a painful time. At a painful time, the character has to be changed. 1 Timothy chapter 3 says that very clearly. These are the characters of a leader should be like. There has to be a change in the character before you even come to leadership as a Christian. See, many people think, oh, I'm a born again Christian. I want every way, easy way life. No. There is a character requirement in our life. Amen. That's the character requirement. Leadership as a Christian leader, you must be a significant person. What is significant? I remember I spoke about Tabitha. I preached about Tabitha. When we preached about Tabitha, we talked about that woman had a significant leadership quality. Significance in Christ Jesus. Significance, you understand, something extraordinary. You can see leaders. They are good. You can see the worldly leaders. They are good. But are their character measurable to their leadership? Hello? Are the characters measured? But you see, when you come to Christian, it should be both. That is why we can stand and say that we are Christians, we are Christ believers, and we are different from the others. Otherwise, there is no difference. Hello? Are you with me? Hello? I'm not scolding anyone here, okay? Alright? We all must understand, as a Christian, as a leadership of Christian, every one of us, not only the leadership in the church, or you are a leadership in any place, but every one of us are called to have a character. Character defined. That character is that what called integrity that the authors has found in him. That character integrity, the way he says what he says and what he means and what he does his work, he does well. Not only in his private place where he was praying, where he was a prayerful man, but also in his family was good, but also in the workplace was good. So much so, the king saw him at his workplace and said, this man is a godly man. I favor him. Though he's going to be absent from my entire kingdom, he's not one of the men who's going to cup bearer. So I'll miss that man on probably on Friday evenings or the days when he is there, his duty days, but he'll replace him with somebody else and let him go. Or do you find favor in the working place when you say, you see, boss, I have got something in my life I've got to do for my God. Would you give me leave? How many of us get leave from our bosses? Why does he not give leave to our bosses? In my life as a manager before, I found sometimes the grandmother dies 10 times in a year. Or the grandfather gets married 5 times a year. The daughter will get married at least 5 times in 5 years. I don't know which daughter. And they will say the mother is sick. The mother gets sick every now and then. Even if you buy flu medicine also, it's still not well. How many of us have got that character as a Christian? We must evade it off. Kick it off from today onwards. Tell the truth. And shame the devil. Leadership of Christian leadership, character is very important. Most of the time, it must have a positiveness in our life. The way that Jesus Christ was a reflection is important in our life. Amen? If it is not, then our integrity is gone. The New Testament talks about all about integrity. How do we walk in integrity? How do we walk in integrity, first of all, brothers and sisters? You know, we are sinners. We know we have got our own habits in our life. Everything else we have, you know, some other mind cannot control. This cannot control. Our heart seems to be walking around everywhere. Whether you're standing here in the body, some of them I see when they're standing here one place, their mind is not there. Their mind is somewhere in Chinatown, or they're somewhere in buying the Gucci handbag, or some other things they're buying at the time. The mind is somewhere else. And then after that, you'll find their heart is somewhere else. And then it'll start beating. When they're talking to you, their heart start beating for somebody else. So when the Christ, when you come here, it's not for the heart for God. It's like somebody else. Oh, I left my darling at home. I have my baby at home. So the heart start beating and going after things of the world. And tomorrow morning I have to go, you know, today is Sunday, you know. This man is yakking too much, you know. When can he shut up and just let's go out of the church so that I can go and do my things, and next tomorrow I have to do a lot of things, you know. I want to sleep well, tomorrow I want to go fresh. How many times you come and have that? The heart is not there. Your body is here, but your mind is not here. Your heart is not here. If that is the case, then how can we hear God? Hello? How many times have you seen your wife or your girlfriend or your boyfriend or your husband? Can you please look at me when I'm talking to you? Has anyone said that before here? When you're communicating within each other, is your eyes locked? Or is your eyes wandering around? Yes, darling, you know, I'll take care of it later. I've got something to... Is that how you speak to each other? Hello? I'm not preaching anything here. I'm telling you from character. Character means be involved with somebody, you must be involved with a person. We don't get involved like that. How can we have that involvement with God whom we don't see? It's so difficult to be concentrating in front of God. Even the people around us, we can't know how to communicate with God, with the people around. How can we communicate with God? We let our mind float because it's so easy. Nobody's watching. And our heart float. Out of the 10 minutes or half an hour we pray, it's probably 1 minute when you said, Jesus, Lord Jesus, that's the time your heart went. After that, went away after that. 29 minutes is somewhere else. Is that a character? But I see this man who is a tough man, the King Arthur says, he knew that this man is a godly man. He has got integrity. Even does his job very well. Oh, King, don't drink that one. I have not drank yet. Let me taste it first. He had to be the first one to go out. He had that zeal to go out and say, no, I will do it first. No, Lord, King, don't come here first. I have not tasted any of them. I'll take one by one. I'll drink. I die, then you don't take. Would you have that, you know, that the sincerity in your heart when you work in a workplace? Let's not play church. Let's not play Christians, you know. We come here one place and we say something else the other side. When we are reprimanded, we tell them that, no, the pastor is too much, you know. He's talking too much. But you see, the most important thing I'm calling that, the word of God says this. I have to change my character. I have to change everything else. Every one of us have got to change somewhere. How do we live that? The only way we can live is that the word of God in Galatians chapter 5, 16 says that. Can somebody read it out loud? Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 says this. Live by the Spirit. And you will not fulfill the desires of the flesh. Hello? I say then, walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. The problem with us, we do not want the Holy Spirit to be in our lives. We have to have the Holy Spirit in our life. Your leadership must have Holy Spirit led. The moment this man heard that he's not his brethren in Israel, in Jerusalem, I want you to go back and read Nehemiah. I'm going fast. When you go on to see in Jerusalem, he heard about them. He has not even seen them. He's not been to see how the walls were broken. He's never seen before. He didn't know the condition. When he heard them, the heart went for them. His heart went for them. His heart went for them. His mind went for them. The first thing he do is wept and cried and wept and cried, for the compassion was churning him. Amen. A righteous man will have compassion. Why is he moving like that? Because he's a prayerful man. The next thing he did was praying. When he prays, the Spirit of God can take control of him. So he lived in the Spirit of God so that he can overcome the fleshly things. I'm sure, as a man, you're working in a place of where you can contact with the number one man in the country. Don't you always have in mind, I want to ask favor for my daughter tomorrow. She's going to medical school. I want the king to sponsor me. I'm finding a point when his mood is right or not. What is your intentions? Hello? How many of us find that? Is the integrity to do your work or to find favor, to find your personal favor? He was walking in the Spirit, never asked anything from Arthraxus. So when he asked leave for the first time, he gave him. When he asked leave for the first time, he gave him. Not one day, but not 2 days. He went for a long period of time. Amen. Amen. Not only that, because of the integrity he had, there was something that moved in him. That is favor. Not only in him, but also the king was favored. King was moved with compassion. He was touched by the compassion of this man, Nehemiah, that he gave favor. He wrote letters to the governors and even gave him a lot of things for his building of the walls. Amen? So building of the walls has got to be taken place, but that was what he had. Integrity. He had the leadership of integrity. Number one, leadership has got to have integrity. Number two, how does the leadership move forward? How does the leadership move forward? How are we going to move forward in our leadership? You are a Christian by yourself. How are you moving forward in a leadership? A leadership, you must have the energy. You must have the zeal. Where do you get the zeal from? The zeal and the energy must come from. Number two is vision. A leader has got a vision. I did mention to you all during the time of a seminar. Says, how many of you write diaries every year? How many of you write goals? Now it's the last month. This is the second day of the last month of the year. How many of you written down all the goals that you have? How many of you say that next year come January 1st, when exactly at 31st midnight, the ding comes only, after that I will change. I will drop smoking. I will drop saying bad words. I will drop being angry. I will drop being whatever you are. You want to drop in your life. How many of you made that today? How many of you think that you make goals every year? It looks like me alone. We make goals. But how many of you successfully implement the goals? It looks like me alone. For the first 2 days, you will not smoke. First 1 week, you will not drink. After that, you go back again. The first few days, nothing, everything comes out from your mouth is good. After the third day, you find that car is passed by your front in front there, and you see the words, oh my Lord. It's so fiery, even the tires might even explode. Right? So we make goals. What makes the person go? The fuel for a leadership is vision. Number two, a vision. If you're focused in a vision, then the vision will fuel you, give you energy, then you will go up as well. The fuel in Christ Jesus is not only integrity, he says, he has the fuel he's given, the vision that he has given to you. Those of you who came for the thing the other day, the seminar, I did mention about feeding the 5,000 people. How many of you were there that day? How many of you were there? Do you know, last week, Sunday, I did there were about 1,800 youths and people in the church. And I was preaching. It was a 3-hour preaching. And after the preaching, it ended up 5 hours later, and they still were not hungry yet. They were still waiting for prayer after 5 hours. You know what happened? I asked them to buy the 2 fishes and the 5 loaves of bread. And we did a demonstration of the loaves and the day. I showed you all demonstration without the loaf and without the fish the other day. How many of you were there that day? Was a seminar. You saw the day is without the loaves and without the fish. But when you really see the fish and the loaf, then the whole church gets a fire. How much do you have to multiply? How much do you have to multiply? Why? Because they got the vision. Why didn't the apostles, how many of you know that story about Jesus multiplied food for 5,000 people? It is not 5,000, 5,000 men. So we add on about 10,000 women, because two-thirds always the same, you know. Today also the same. You look at a counter, the number of men will be two-thirds women and always men, one-third only. You'll find that always. So if you find that two, then about 10,000 men and with children about 5,000 children, you'll have 20,000 people Jesus met fed that day. With only two fishes and two. It was not a big fish. I tell you all the other day, those of you who were there, he didn't carry, a small boy didn't carry a big fish. Salmon fish, or a long one, about 20 kg. No, he can't carry. He can't carry five loaves about this size, carrying like that, you know, one loaf this size. He has to carry a bun. Can you just imagine? With that amount, there was fire in them. Why? They did not ask questions to Jesus Christ because they caught the vision. You must catch the vision. If you don't catch a vision, even in a marriage, you don't catch a vision for your marriage. Why are you both married? What is that makes you married together? If you think that you are a single person, why you want to be single? Why it catches you? Then if that's the case, then you will not look to the left, not to the right. The vision must be captured. Amen. They caught the vision. The 12 disciples caught the vision. They never questioned Jesus Christ. How am I going to multiply this small amount of bread? Small piece, probably this size. And can you just imagine? And the small size about fish, about this size. And with that, they multiplied because they caught the vision. What is the fuel that moves, like a leader moves? What is that energy? That is the power behind. What is that whatever energy you call to go to Mars or to Apollo? What is that fuel that drove these people? It's because highly achievers in the world are people who have got vision. That vision pulls them off. Amen. The vision pulled them off. What is the vision he gave? He made a statement which I say in chapter 2, verse 11 to verse 18. Let's read that one first. Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 11 to 18. So I came to Jerusalem and was there 3 days. Then I rose in the night, I and a few men with me. I told no one what my God had put in my heart to do at Jerusalem. Nor was there any animal with me except the one on which I rode. Let me say, he rode a donkey at a time. Okay. And I went out by night through the valley gate to the serpent well and the refuse gate, and I viewed the walls of Jerusalem, which were broken down, and its gates, which were burned with fire. Then, I went on to the fountain gate and to the king's pool, but there was no room for the animal under me to pass. His animal also cannot pass through. That much space was left behind. So I went up in the night by the valley and viewed the wall. Then I turned back and entered by the valley gate and so returned. And the officials did not know where I had gone or what I had done. I had not yet told the Jews, the priests, the nobles, the officials, or the others who did the work. Then I said to them, you see the distress that we are in. How Jerusalem lies waste and its gates are burned with fire. Came and let us build the wall. Come, let us build the wall of Jerusalem that we may no longer be a reproach. And I told them of the hand of my God, which had been good upon me, and also of the king's words that he had spoken to me. So they said, let us rise up and build. Then they set their hands to this good work. Amen. You see, he gave a vision. What is the vision he gave? He had something God put in his heart. God has given him a vision. So he captured the vision. Now he has to inspire the other people as a leader to be visionaries. Amen. So what did he say? The important thing I like here about is He's calling, come, let us rebuild. Come, let us rebuild. He gave a declaration saying that it is a open declaration, a vision. The building is important. Amen. Why is it important? When you say, come, let's build. If I tell you today, tomorrow morning, if I tell you, let's come to next week, we'll just do a renovation in this church here. People asking, what is John? This pastor is crazy. We don't need a renovation here. You know, the things are looks nice, all right. But anyway, next week we are going to have any volunteers can come. We're going to do this part here, paint this part, put it all back nicely. Any volunteers? See, somebody is laughing already. Right. So he had given a vision. So he said, build. Come, let us build. That vision came along with what? He gave assurance in the vision. Assurance is number one. The assurance that this building that was built many years ago and was destroyed about 150 years ago, that is built now, and as I arrived in Jerusalem, God has put me this heart. In my heart, God has given me this. And he says, few things in a month. He painted a picture of the people. He told the people the motivating things. Number one, he said, the picture he painted to the people was this. Would find security when they build the walls, they will find security in their place. They'll be secure in the place. Man today looks for security. Amen? How many of you look for security? I know people get married because security. People get insecure. Some of us do not, they feel insecure when you are standing in front of somebody. You feel insecure in front of some policeman. You feel insecure because you would have done something wrong. So you feel insecure when you come to see a traffic policeman standing up there. You feel insecure. Or you feel insecure in a situation in your life. But whatever it is, you must have a picture of your vision. The vision that fuels you. The vision he painted was that you'll find security, able to find security. And number two, he told them, there'll be an identity. When you build the wall, there is going to be identity, who you are. You'll be those people who are the Jews who are in the wall, who are now back again as a unity, as one body itself. Hello? He painted a picture to them when he rebuilt. When you're rebuilding that wall of Jerusalem, you're going back to the same time where the people were secure when the walls were up. Number two, he says he painted that your identity, the people inside the wall, are powerful people. Records, history has said that the people of Israelites were feared because their God is what they feared. Amen. The God of Israel is what they feared. Every enemy around them feared the God of Israel. Amen. You go back and see the Bible and you find they feared the God of Israel. So they will find security inside the wall because once they are in the wall, they start praying. Amen. They will do the things God required to do. They will go back and do the things that Solomon has built that wall and said, has built the temple and now I'm going to give you, and you'll do sacrifice here and everything. When they have built the wall, they are secure inside. And identity. Identity, number two, is identity. Identity that you are called to be a nation. Amen. Amen. Number three, he said, you'll prosper within the fortification. When you have the city, when last time and before they were destroyed, the town, the Jerusalem, was prospering. Now they are not prospering. They no longer have money. They no longer have food. They don't have things that they can supply for themselves. Why? Because you know why? In leadership, number one, you'll find the basic needs of the people must be taken care of. Leadership always finds the basic need of the people must be taken care of. What is the basic need of the people? I want to ask you today. The strong key word here is, what is that that motivates these people? What is that that gave the fuel for them to become builders? It's an identity, number one. Number two, that their basic needs will be taken care of. Number three, they are secure within the walls. Brothers and sisters, our church has got a vision. How many of you know the church vision? How many of you gone to the website and seen the vision? How many of you know the church visions? Hello? How many of you caught the vision? Many of you go to the website, they look for prayers, they look for things. They look for something they want. But have you seen the church direction and vision of the church? Have you caught that vision? You want to be part of the vision. I'm standing here and calling every one of you here and those who are going to listen. If you've got a heart, You've got a compassion. You've got a vision. You don't have a vision. Catch this vision. Our vision is based on a few things. Number one, if you look at our website, I didn't ask brother to put it on up there. I'll read it from here. Our vision is to catch God's vision. Our vision is to catch God's vision. We can have all the vision in the world, but we don't catch God's vision, we will be a failure. When we build a house, we must build on the rock, not on the sand. So we have to get the vision of God. What is the God's vision, number one? The first God's vision, number one, is to fulfill the great commandment God has called us. Amen. Everything a Christian leadership should be, every Christian is a leader by himself. The God's vision is number one, is the vision that, as what Nehemiah said, the vision is to now build that wall. The kingdom's mind must be building the wall of the kingdom. Amen. The only way you can build the kingdom wall is by fulfilling the commandments, the Great Commission. Matthew 28, verse 19 to 20. Matthew 28, verse 19 to 20. How many of you remember that? Hello? Can somebody read out very loudly from where you are? If you are already there. Matthew 28, 19, 20. So the great commission that God has given to number one is to go up and baptizing, disciple others. So see, discipleship program is an ongoing program from the time of Book of Acts until today. Amen. From the time Jesus walked on earth, that time in Israel, in Galilee, in Jerusalem, everywhere he walked, he had disciples beside him. Every disciple was able to learn from him and then duplicate in the Book of Acts. Amen. Are you in for it? Are you in for it? How many of us till today are doing the things that God has asked you to do? How many of us are doing in our workplace that you could dare stand and pray for somebody and say, can I pray for you? How many of us go to a coffee shop and say, what's wrong with you? Sister, can I talk to you? You look like so down. Or brother, is there something bothering you? Can I help you? Can I pray with you? Jesus did that all the way. That's how he discipled. He didn't send his disciples to seminary where sit down in one close where and learn by books alone. He learned by life application. Amen. His seminary was life application seminary. So when I call some people, come, let's pray here. They don't want to pray. They want to come and see privately. They don't want to be prayed alone. So when they come here to be prayed for, they want to be seen by others. How can we disciple others? How can we get people to be discipled? The vision of this church is to get a vision. The vision Nehemiah had, the vision that is given to this church as everyone who comes here is to fulfill the Great Commission. Is not to come and sit down and just warm the chair. Hello? How many of us are doing by our lifestyles? And our family lifestyle, and our social lifestyle, and our work lifestyle. Man. Second vision that we have in our vision in our church. To be a life-giving community. People matter. Radically love. People matter. Radically love. Care and mature people. How to care and nurture people? 1 John 4, 7, 11. You want to know 7-Eleven? You'll find it here. The best 7-Eleven you can ever get. Don't go to the shop 7-Eleven 24 hours. You can get at your house itself. You sit down, bedtime and sleepy time, whatever time. Even you go to the toilet, you can still take out the 5 verses and see read. This 7-Eleven is better than any other 7-Eleven. Can you read? Can somebody read? 1 John 7:11. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent His only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through Him. In this love, not that we loved God, and this is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. So that's 24 hours, 7-Eleven. This 7-Eleven is the best 7-Eleven you can ever find. So if we have that 24-hour 7-Eleven love, and to love others and to love ourselves, surely the integrity part will be taken care of. Hello? Amen? The integrity part will be taken care of. So the vision is to get that love. So we must love somebody. We must love the people. We don't come here, and even in church sometimes we don't find people loving each other. Hello? The church is supposed to be a loving place. So we must love each other. Amen? To multiply, the third vision, to multiply Christ-like disciples, maturing in God by being founded. You'll find there is a small mistake that it's not grounded. It's founded in the Word of God. Develop and equip strong believe biblical people. 2 Timothy 2, 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2. And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others to also. So the problem, the church in this vision here is not a church just come here and occupy a seat. By now, if you are here for 1 year, 2 years, you should be able to understand, rise up to be able to teach somebody else. It's not found yet. Sometimes when you disciple somebody, they find somewhere outside to disciple better than this church. The focus is out. The focus is out. If I called, Nehemiah was called. He was not placed in Jerusalem. He was placed in where? Citadel. That's Persia now. It was in Persia. It's in Turkey. He was sitting there. And in Turkey he was called to do a mission where he is. Because he was positioned where he was and he was faithful, God has sent him out. Amen. You must be faithful in the place where you are, first of all. Faithfulness is important. If there is no faithfulness, God doesn't see that. We will see it manually. We see everything else. In our worldly ways, we see, oh, this way is that way, that way. It's not that way. But faithfulness is the most important thing in our life. How can you exhibit faithfulness to God when you don't first show faithfulness to your family, to your church, to your working place? Faithfulness is important. Nehemiah, in my preaching, if you go back and see the earlier preaching, it's about faithfulness. The faithfulness is important. He was so faithful. That's why he was there. And I did mention, you're called in Malaysia, not in Australia or in America. You're called in Malaysia. So the faithfulness to Malaysia is important. Hello? Do you understand what I'm saying? It's very important. It's the Nehemiah that opened my heart not to go to many nations, only the nation next door to me. It's his heart that opened up to me. That to know your people, to know your people, to know your people, to be part of your people, to build your people, so that the builders will be built and they will be able to build others. Amen. 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 So we have to have that understanding of God's understanding. That he says not only that, we must be able to leadership, develop people who are discipled so that they will be discipled. And they will be able to disciple others. Number 4, to develop leadership in mature believers, empowering the leadership to be world changers for God. Matthew chapter 5, verse 13 to 16. Our vision of this church is based on biblical words. People don't want to see these visions. They just want to see something they want for themselves. When they are healed, they are not looking at what God's vision is. Why they were brought here. Why they were healed here. They don't see that. But they want to see something outside, somewhere else. They don't want to be nurtured. They don't have this understanding of being discipled. Understanding of disciple is coming under somebody to be able to be taught so that he can move forward. Amen. So the empowerment comes from the leadership. Jesus did not say, he said, now I'm going, you all do whatever you want. No, he empowered them before he left. You look at the Bible, you'll find Jesus empowered them. When he was around, he said, he sent them 2 by 2 to go and now minister. And he came back before he left, before he was taken up to heaven. Before he descended, in the Gospel number, Acts chapter 1, he did mention that he empowered them. The empowerment comes from the leadership of the Lord. Amen? So you must understand that Matthew chapter 5, verse 13 to 16, go back and read and you'll find leadership should be people, building people who are already there, who are mature, so that mature people can be sent. We cannot send a baby to go and take down, pull down territorial spirits who doesn't even know how to do the word. You ask them, can you tell me what does Romans chapter 8, verse 28 says? We don't know. How can you go down and pull down things? Right? So we must send somebody who knows the word, biblically founded in the word. Amen? Number 5, to be evangelism and mission orientated, connecting people with God in every nation. Mark chapter 16, verse 15 to 6. See, every nation, this is our vision. You can go to the website and see this vision on our website. If you find that vision has been made and it's been said, it's been prayed upon, and this is the vision of this church. So this vision of this church is to have some ministries. What are the ministries? Number one, that we will build people, that we'll have godly people who will be nurtured under foundation of the God, God's word. No foundation of the word of God, the rock is not there, it will be soft. We must have. A leadership must have a foundation. What is your foundation? Is it some of the gurus of management, or is it Jesus Christ? When it comes to church, His kingdom, His word is the foundation. Not the mahagurus of all the management experts in the world. The world today, as I spoke the last time I hear, the world today is creeping into the church. Why? We allow the management of the world to come inside here. Management of the world has no compassion, no mercy, no grace. The management of the God is grace, mercy, and love. Hello? In the management, they don't fulfill what you have got in your menu, in your company, you sack them. There is no grace. There is no mercy. There is no compassion. But in this church, the church, every church has got to have that. Its foundation is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ Himself was the sacrifice. He is the foundation. He is the foundation. Without His foundation, a church cannot be built. A leader cannot be built. A Christian leader has to be founded by the Word of God. So the Word of God becomes the basics. That is why Nehemiah, when he was praying every day, he was founded by the Word of God. He knew the compassion of God. He knew the mercy of God. He knew the grace of God. That is why he went down on the knees and he started praying. And he cried. So the foundation was there. Amen. Praise God. So brothers and sisters, we have a vision. I want to quote one word from Anton De Saint-Exupéry. A strong vision is the key to the success of a mission. He said this, if you want to build a ship, don't drum the men to gather wood. Drive the work, divide the work and give orders. Instead, teach them the longing for the vast and endless sea. That's his quote. So in order for us to do, every one of us want to do something, every one of us want to be prophets, every one of us want to be the apostle, every one of us want to be up there to be getting that leadership, that recognition, but that is not what God wants. If it's God who gives it, let it be so. Let us do the basics. Let us do the basics foundation. Let us do the basic first. And then as we grow from the basics, God will give the rest. Amen? We have to do the basics. The basics is very important for our lives. The basics is so important that we must understand that without Jesus Christ, there is no ministry. Without Jesus Christ, there is no compassion. Without Jesus Christ, there is no ministry. There is no Jesus Christ, there is no grace. So we must understand His love. And we must understand His foundation. So in order for us to go up and do, everybody wants to do the same thing. It doesn't work that way. If we have got to do something, some of us have got to do something in our mission. In order for a church to build, the different parts of the body has got to work together. We always look at the church. Oh, the church is that church, this church, all must minister. Let us work in the church first. Hello? A leadership must be an example in the own church first. Before we talk about other churches to come and join us. Hello? Am I with you? You all look very serious. If I get down, I think somebody is going to eat me up. Importantly, thing the Lord is showing us. A Christian leadership has to be founded with a vision. the vision that was painted upon this man, that they have to build the building so that walls, so that they will be secure and they will be have the supplies. That is a school in our church. We have a vision which was given, which was prophesied by people. Many of them came in and said, you will have a school to teach people, not only for the churches, for this church, but also for many other churches. And they will not stay here. I'm not interested in people coming from different churches and staying here. We want people who are willing to have their heart to go out and catch the fire and bring the fire back again to the people and let the fire flow. You know, 3 weeks ago, you were here. I see the fire in Sarawak. You might be saying, Pastor, you're wasting your time in Sabah and Sarawak. And I tell you, three, four weeks ago when Brother Son was here, I didn't know. He was one of those young boy who was there when there was a revival under Mount Kinabalu. I didn't know that until recently when I went. The brother comes from Sabah. He will be able to enlighten me further. And I was reading about it further and further. I didn't put down the book until I finished it in the plane. The fire, it was so below the foot of Mount Kinabalu. The church was on fire. They really saw the fire. A fire, a church on fire. Everybody in the town, in the village there, although they were drunk with their talk and all the other things, the drunk, they went up to help into this church to put out the fire. But when they went inside, they inside the church, people were dancing and loving and worshipping God. Can you just imagine? I want to see that fire. I'm hungry for that fire. I don't know about you. I'm really hungry for that fire. That's a fire we want to catch. That's a vision I have in my mind. That's a vision I carry in my heart. God, let there be a fire that everyone who is Lord trained in this place, wherever they go and start praying, let there be a fire. Let the church be on fire. Let everybody else attracted. How I this morning, I came early in the morning, about 5:30 in the morning. I sat in front of this. I was hungry, so I went opposite. I didn't have my dinner last night. I went opposite there. Palita, I was looking at our church and I was having a toast bread and a tea. And I said, if our church is on fire, what will our neighbor think? What will the people in Palita do? What will the people behind will do? What, you know, this morning I was really imagining. My imagination went wild. First they'll call the Bombavalas. The Bombavalas will come. They'll catch the fire. They will not put out the fire. They'll catch the fire. People sitting out there, they come in to help, put out the thing. They will catch the fire. And everybody who comes here will catch the fire. It's not about putting out the fire. It's about catching the fire. And then I said, Lord, the Bomba is full of Bhumiputras. I'm happy, Lord. Let it be done according to your will. Let them run around to Sigambur and the whole place will be on fire. You see, the imagination is for God. When I read about the fire, church on fire, and the drunkards came, they became undrunkard overnight, just by split second. They became clear. What is happening to me? They started talking about Jesus Christ. The love, they started crying, confessing their sins. And the Holy Spirit convicted their sins first. In Baklalang, the revival also same. I met the teacher, right? I was with him. I was preaching together with him the last time. The teacher himself. In fact, the teacher's sister was here. We didn't recognize her. The teacher's sister has been to our church for about 2 months. She caught the fire from Indonesia. She caught the fire from Indonesia. And she was here. And we didn't know that fire she had. Of course, she came together with her husband for prayers. And they've already been, everything God has done has gone back. But the most important thing, just imagine. I want you to get that imagination wild. Just imagine this building is on fire. The Holy Ghost fire. And it goes on for a month. It goes on for a year. Can you just imagine people come from everywhere else? When I went to somewhere this morning, the other day, somebody said, no, you know, Pastor, you don't know what's happening in Kuala Lumpur. I said, I don't know what's happening in Kuala Lumpur. I'm now in Indonesia. Oh, you don't know. We saw in the picture, you know, in the papers, the newspaper, that, you know, somebody, the deity appeared in a church. Mary appeared in the church. And the glass got some mark that she appeared there. I said, Lord, I've always stayed in that same church where it appeared. And I've asked the Lord, appear yourself. He never did. my difficult times in my life, crossroads in my life. I knelt down, I cried, and I tried 24 hours, you know, still didn't appear. But I don't think God is so. God comes to the people who need them. Last days, there's nobody else He will send. He will not send a saint. He will not send Peter from heaven. He will not send Paul from heaven. He will not send anybody from heaven. He Himself will come. Be reminded. I want to remind you all. Be reminded tonight, today morning, that God Himself will come. There is nobody else will appear in us. Only I know, God told me, He will translate people. Like you are seated here, and you are reading the Bible suddenly, and you are in the passion, compassion of the Lord. God knows that He is, as you are reading the Word of God, and God gives you the compassion to minister to somebody, God will translate you from this country to another country without going through a passport, without immigration, and translate that, and you minister that, and God will bring you back here. That's what I know. God will not send anybody from heaven until Jesus Christ comes. He is the only one who will come back from heaven. Amen. If the Bible tells you otherwise, tell me where does the Bible tell you. Show me. I will believe you. The Bible doesn't say otherwise. In the last days, only one person appears. His name is Jesus Christ. And none others. No apostles. None of those ladies who Jesus ministered to or Jesus used, God used the women. None of them will appear. Because He is the only one to appear. So today, leadership has got to have vision. My vision, my desire is that our church will be on fire. Our fire will be so great that everybody around here will be catching the fire and they'll run to this place and they'll say, Lord, I want to catch this fire. They don't have to say anything. They'll be caught by the fire. Amen? They'll be caught by the fire. Amen. Praise God. So the vision is important. A Christian leader's hallmark, the one which is actually the one which is predominant in his life, is the vision of a godly leader. A Christian leader has to have that hallmark in him, that sign in him, that kind of says, Shema word, that says that inside him, it's written inside him, I am a godly visionary. Amen. I am a godly visionary. Amen. Praise God. God in him. Vision drives the passion. The vision and the passion works together as friends, as brothers. The vision and the passion are both same. They have to work together. They cannot work separately. Without passion, you cannot have the vision. We cannot have the vision without passion. Both of them work together so that they will achieve what God wants in our life. A Christian leadership has to have that godly leadership. Now, many of us think when we come, you'll find in Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 1 to 9 and verse 15. Chapter 4, 1 to 9. You read that, you'll find there was challenges which Nehemiah experienced. There was problem people who came here. Let me read it. Are you all okay with me for the next 15 minutes? But it so happened, verse chapter 4, when Sanballat heard that we were rebuilding the wall, that he was furious and very indignant, and mocked the Jews. And he spoke before his brethren and the army of Samaria and said, what are these feeble Jews doing? Will they fortify themselves? Will they offer sacrifices? Will they complete it in a day? Will they revive the stones from the heaps of rubbish, stones that are burned? Now, Tobiah the Ammonite was beside him and he said, whatever they build, if even a fox goes up on it, He will break down their stone wall. Hear, O our God, for we are despised. Turn their reproach on their own heads and give them a plunder to a land of captivity. Do not cover their iniquity and do not let their sin be blotted out before you, for they have provoked you into anger before the builders. So we built the wall, and the entire wall was joined together up to half its height, for the people had a mind of work. Now it happened when Sanballat, Tobiah, the Arabs, the Ammonites, and the Ashdodites heard that the walls of Jerusalem were being built, restored, and the gaps beginning to be closed, that they became very angry. And all of them conspired together to come and attack Jerusalem and create confusion. Nevertheless, we made our prayer to our God, and because of them, we set a watch against them day and night. Verse 15. And it happened when our enemies heard that it was known to us, and that God had brought their plot to nothing, that not all of us returned to the wall, everyone to his work. Brothers and sisters, first of all, when we have leadership, Christian leadership, we expect everything to happen good. How many of us feel that, ayo, being a Christian church member, I'm a leader in this place, I'm a leader here, nothing will happen to me, I'm fortified by God. How many of we feel that way? All of us have got a positive mind, you know, mindset. Oh, as a leader, Christian, now nobody will come after me, nothing will happen to me, I'll just be so famous, and you know that in this leadership I'll have fame, you know, I'll have integrity, I'll have, you know, people will respect me. All the worldly things will come into our mind. But a Christian leadership will have opposition. A Christian leadership will have opposition. Nehemiah had opposition. A Christian leadership opposition is not counted as an opposition, it's the fire of test of a leadership of a Christian. Amen. Any opposition that comes is the fire of test. In my last message, I did say, there was a time in the time in my life that I wanted to resign as a pastor and move on. The confrontation was so big. There was so much of opposition. And the day that God spoke to me and said that, no, I want you to read Nehemiah, that's the day I started reading Nehemiah very carefully, intently, that God gives me a lot of jewel from it and tells me that, do not worry, the Arabs, the Chaldeans, Ammonites, Ashdodites came along, but I withheld them. You continue building the wall. Amen. That's the word he gave it to me. So on that strength, I started building. But a test of leadership, when the fire, when there's opposition, it is the fire of God that allows it to happen so that your leadership will be tested. Amen. A Christian leadership is tested. A Christian leadership must be tested. Gold has to be tested. Tell me gold cannot be tested. How many of you know diamond has to be tested? Every pure metal, every precious metal has to be tested. A person who is before God, a leader of God, a leadership of Christianship has to be tested. Something will come in our life. Something, oh, because I'm a Christian now, nothing will happen in life. Suddenly something happens to your life. Oh, how can this happen to me? I'm a Christian already. Every one of us are Christians, and we will have our own oppositions in our life. That will test us much. Our leadership strength is available much during the time. Amen. Our leadership, a Christian leadership strength is much available during the time of the fire of opposition. So God allows this to happen. Why? So that our leadership will be fired, will be tested, and be done. Most of the time you see, testing of the fire is important. The fire is the one which tests us. Today, if you talk about fire, the fire has got to come down and take away all those things. The fire of the Holy Ghost has got to take away everything else. But inside us, the leadership has to be tested again. Sometimes, you know, as a Christian, we give in to the world. Just because the world is like that, why can't I be like that? The world has got Mercedes-Benz, I don't have Mercedes-Benz. The world has got Bentley now, I don't have Bentley. The world has got Rolls-Royce, I don't have Rolls-Royce. What is that we are seeking in our lives? Our test will be whether we are murmuring or not. How many of us do murmur? How many of us do murmur when we have these problems? I did for once. I did. Maybe you all are good people. I'm the only one here. So I did murmur. Murmuring was one of the things I murmured. But sometimes you must understand, it's not what you want in your life, but it's what God wants out of your life. Amen. Hear it carefully. He wants out of your life. It's not what you want in your life, but he wants something out of your life. To get something out of your life must be pressed. You want to get something, a juice from an orange, you must squeeze the orange. You want to get something inside in your life, then you have to inject something into your life. But most of the time, God wants to see out of your life. Your life will be a sacrifice to God. Your life will be the one which is squeezed out, will become a drink for others. Paul says it very well. Unless the orange is squeezed, unless a tea is made out of a cup, you cannot be a pouring a drink to another person. unless the orange, unless the lemon is squeezed, you cannot get the juice into the cup so that you can be a drink to others. In the squeezing, in the fiery time, only then we can gulp all this. Honey is melted, sometimes due to warm. Right? You must heat up. You know, so the honey, when you put something, it's already frozen. It's already like, you know, very hardened. Have you seen the honey? So hardened. You want it to be more liquid, you have to put it over a fire for a while, and suddenly a little bit of heat, and it'll get all well. Is that right? Have you seen that? Have you seen hardened one? I bought the one from New Zealand last time. It's so hardened. So I had to put it somewhere on a hot plate for a while, so that at least the thing can turn around a while, it became well. Right? It became liquid. So we have to be hardened. Sometimes these things that comes in our life, in the marriage, in your personal life, in whatever it is, in your office work, that is sometimes it's testing. Sometimes you are squeezed. God squeezes us. That's the fire. As a leadership. Amen? As He squeezes us, then only you can be a drink for others. We know that in squeezing, you can get something out of yourself. And Nehemiah was squeezed. He knew now what to do next. He had to go back to God. He says, most of the prayer verses just now you read, they prayed. They had something squeezed out from them. The strength came out of them. When they were squeezed, when they were put in opposition, the strength came out of them. The unity came out of them. There was unity because of the opposition. Hello? They all stood at the gates. You will find that every one of them stood at their place and they stood at watchmen. They had to be united together. If our neighbor is not a watchman and he still allows somebody, enemy, to come inside, you just keep quiet. The enemy will come inside. If the enemy is coming inside and you see the person, you just shout, yo, and the other person says, yo, he sent the message all around. The enemy is attacking now. So there was unity in the people of that time. When there was opposition, there was unity. You'll find during the time, when you go back and read the gospel of Nehemiah, you'll find there were a lot of people inside them who were actually lending money, and the money which was lent to the poor people, in the money, couldn't pay back. They didn't have money how to have their food. And Nehemiah came and said, look, those who have given, write them off, the rich people. There was unity now. The enemy is not within, it's from outside. Most of us, we feel the enemy is inside our family. Well, most of us feel it's in our church and our, in our working place, but you'll find enemy comes from outside to attack you. Amen? Amen? So we must understand that. See, they had opposition. What kind of opposition did they have? Was it a fair thing for him? You know, he gave up his job there in the Citadel. Nice place, air-conditioned place probably. He had all the cool place. He had a big swimming pool there, and he can also go and swim. And probably he had all the best food in a kingly place, palace. He sacrificed that and came to now Jerusalem, which is burnt. And now it's burnt smell there. And so many years, everything is dirty. And everything, even the rocks which were there 150 years ago, all the rocks which were brought down, all the stones which were brought down, they're all in the heaps. They all probably grass has grown over them. Dirt has been put there. Can you just imagine 150 years of dirt on the place? We have got 1 year of dirt in our Klang River. You can find how much dirt we have. Just 1 year or 1 month. You go and scoop out and see how much you can get. Can you just imagine 150 years of dirt on the top of the rubbles? Nehemiah has come and look at this. God, you gave me this kind of work. I don't know what to do. Did he say that? As a leader, he has got to take something on himself. Right? He sacrificed all that to come here, and suddenly you see you have got opposition. Is it fair for him? Did he cry out, God, you know, how come you brought me here? Now you suddenly give me all these problems, opposition? No. He had a fair amount of opposition. He had to deal with mockery. He had to deal with public ridicule. He was ridiculed publicly. He was mocked much. If you go back and read and see the verse of, I hope you all go back and read Nehemiah. He was ridiculed and mocked. Chapter 1, chapter 4, verse 1 to 3. Plans for an armed attack. They were attacking. Chapter 4, verse 7 to 10. They were attacking. They were planning to attack already. Just now we read, isn't it? And you'll find that chapter 6, you know, in chapter 6, verse 1 to 3, you'll find that they were plotting to murder him. Hello? They were even plotting to murder. They bring insight. They use the people inside, relationship in the south side. Some of them, opposition was also a relation of theirs. How many of us find your own brothers and sisters or your own relation are the opposition for you? They're outside. They got connected inside by blood relationship. Hello, you know what? I am your brother, you know, I am your cousin. No. How can you stand with him? They used him so that they can kill him. God works in his own way. There was an open letter sent to him, rebellious letter, very rebellious, charging and accusing him of treason. Chapter 6, verse 5 to 6. There was a move. They discredited him and led him into sin. They discredited him and want to lead him into sin. In chapter 6, verse 10. And many more, he went through all this. All this opposition made him better person. Hello? Made him better person. He stood, withstood all the opposition. How did he stand this opposition? How did he overcome this opposition? Number one, to overcome an opposition, he stood firm on the basics, on the word of God. He stood firm on the vision that he had. The vision that he had. He had to stand firm. He is not looking at what he's looking for. You'll find that, you know, Ephesians chapter 6 verse 13, he knows that, you know, he's not going to armor, going to fight with them with their empty hands. But he had one thing. He put on the armor of evil one. He says that we are not fighting against the flesh and blood, but we are fighting against the principalities, wicked spirits, amen, and powers of darkness. So he put on the armor. He had that stand firm. He knows and knows. As a result, because he stood firm in his firmness, he stood firm into his vision. He stood firm to what he has got. He's got his principle inside him. The principle of godly principle. He stood firm. That is why he was able to build that walls within 52 days. Hello? 52 days. One big wall around. If you go to Jerusalem, you will understand what I'm saying. At the time, it's really big. And the thickness of the wall. To build within 52 days is really a great achievement. Great achievement. Those who have been to Israel will understand what I'm saying. Right. And this was not done for the past 150 years or maybe 140 over years. Since the day it was brought down, it was not able to be done for the past 141 years. Now this man comes by God's vision, and the vision has inspired him. The compassion inside him has made him turn around the entire history of Jerusalem. Amen. You can change the entire history as a leader of a Christian leadership. One who is very significant, a leadership which is inside you, can turn around things around. Number two, what did he do? How did he overcome this? How did he withstand all this? Number two, the most important thing is his prayer. He prayed. You'll find in the whole chapter he prayed. Even just now as I write, he was praying. He was praying and saying that God, both have both natural. He had to do not only opposition in the natural. He was not only, you'll find the people had to stand and build their wall with one hand and the other hand with a knife, with a sword. Can you just imagine the walls were built with one hand and the other hand with a sword? I can't imagine. You look at the stones, I think I can't even move one stone. Maybe Brother James Giles can, but I can't. I saw the stone so huge. I don't wonder, how did they do this at a time? There was cooperation in a family. Bear in mind, the neighbor was not cooperating with each other. The inside the family, there was cooperation. Hello? Your family unit must be cooperative first. Your own family, where you are. Number two, the church family must be cooperative. How can we build a wall if we are not cooperative inside here? We must be united in the church. There was unity in the church, the basic family, the basic church, the first church, the family. Because every one of them in Nehemiah, you'll find, every one of them who's facing the wall, if this person's house is in front of this wall, I will take that portion to build. They took that portion to build. And everybody built the wall accordingly. That is why he finished within 52 days. And with one hand with a sword and the other hand doing the walls. Can you just imagine? It's not an easy task. That was possible because of prayer. Prayer. They were praying and they were watching. They were watchmen. They were watching. The word of God says they were watching. So leadership, radical leadership, will pray and stand, withstand all these things. Number one, by standing firm on the grounds, on the foundation of Christ Jesus. And number two, he stood by prayer. It's not that he was not only opposing the people, he was opposing in the supernatural too. Satan didn't want that entire place to be built again, so that the people can now sacrifice. There was no sacrifice for all this while. 150 years, there was no sacrifice. There was no temple feast. All these 150 years. Now, after 141 years, you'll find in Ezra, now they had given up offering to the Lord. Amen? They gave an offering to the Lord. They had a service in the place after 150 years. They not only they had to go against the people, but against Satan too. Now, brothers and sisters, every one of them was brought together as a whole person. He realized that not all the church, the walls was not built by one man. It was built by a leadership of entire group of people. Entire whole city was building the land of the walls. In order for us to have the vision in this church, and in order for you to fall into the vision in the church, and in order for you to move forward into the church visions, so that you will be part of the vision, you'll be part of the building of the wall, you'll be part of the mission works, you'll be part of the people who are coming out of darkness into light, so that you'll be doing the mission work, great mission commission God has given to us. You must know, first of all, which part of the wall do you want to stand? Which part of the wall do you want to stand? There's a wall around here. This is not a wall I'm talking about. Which kind of ministry are you willing to be part? Which part of that ministry are you willing to be part of? So that this vision of God has put in our life, that a fire shall come upon this church. The fire of the Holy Ghost can come and burn. Not only burn, not burn, consume. But this unconsuming fire that will come here will bring forth many people around, including leadership of the country, and everywhere there shall be fire in the churches in Malaysia. We have to move somewhere. We have a vision, but the vision is not worked on, and with heart, full heart, with a heart which is full of joy, with a conviction, with a compassion, we don't work at it and put your mind towards it, nothing will come to pass. Amen? So today I'm calling upon every one of you today. Those who are here, which part of the ministry, which part of the wall do you want to take? Which part of the wall that you want to build so that a gap can be filled? The gap that is between the wall, which allows the enemies to come into this church or into the ministry of God, into the kingdom of God, that gap that you are, you can stand there and say, I'm taking part of this gap and I'm going to stand firm and I'm going to stand with it. One with a sword and another one with the work of God. One with prayer, standing firm on the word of God and the sword, spirit and the word. And the other one is your hands at work. If we don't have these two, we can't actually work and build the wall. Brothers and sisters, let us come to recognition today. Let us not be Christians, just warmers. Let us not be Christians who passes by this earth. Let us not be Christians who knows, oh, he was a Christian. He died. He had a very nice, good service. Very good service. The message was good. Oh, the guy was life was very good. But how are you written in the book of Acts? How is your name written in the book of Acts? Which part of that wall are you? Even the walls will say testimony today to those people who have gone already during Nehemiah's time. The walls they built at the time. The walls they built, there will be a testimony for them. The walls that stand there is a testimony for them. Where are we? Though now all the walls have been brought down, only one portion of the wall is there where the people go and wail every time. That same wall, they were there building the wall at the time. Brothers and sisters, every stone will be a testimony for Jesus Christ. Every stone shall be a testimony for you and I. Every person that we touch in our life will be a testimony for us. Where are we today? And where do you want to be? What is that you want to be involved? I've called this for the last time. We want to see this church move forward. I realize these times, these last few months, my calling has come. That I must move and bring people along with me. We don't move at this time when the Spirit of God is moving. You don't see the signs and wonders moving. So we have to rise up for that move. We have to rise up for the move that they follow. We can touch Sabah and Sarawak. Those people who are now being Islamized, we can bring them back to the Lord and stand firm on the word of God. Not that the pastor will be persecuted. I am not worried about that. But are you willing to take that wall? Are you willing to take that walk? Are you willing to come together and say, yes, we'll build this wall? We'll stand for the visions of this church. We'll stand for visions of amazing grace. There shall be duplication. We're not interested in a big, huge church. There are going to be part churches outside there. There are going to be outreach churches out there. Who is going to be leader? You're not trained here. Who's going to be leader? Whom can I send? Says the Lord. Whom can I send? If there is one in Kuching now, tomorrow opened. If there is one more in Kota Kinabalu, we work with another church there. Are we going out? Are you going to Tawau? Are you willing to go to the interior? Unless you are trained, unless you are moving in the Spirit and the Word of God, you can't move forward. God is calling. The call has come. I'm asking for the church today to stand. Those who are with us for next year, tell me so that we can concentrate on you. Discipleship program. Programs of the Holy Spirit, Holy Fire ministry here in this church, which we will marry together with one church from US and also from Australia. So they will come and teach also at the same time. Who is for us building of this wall? We don't want people to come here and break the unity, but we want people to build the wall together. Break the wall. As you're working, when you put your hands onto the work, the Word of God says, they were working. They were into their hands. Their work was on the hands. Their work was all the time as their focus. The work of God was focused. Their work of building the wall was their focus. Their hands was on the work. We don't want to take off the hands from the work of God. One hand with the Word and the Spirit, and the other hand with the work of God. It doesn't matter wherever you are. You can do not give up your job and come. I'm not asking you to come full time. I'm not asking you to do something which is radically, which is going to be against your family. Take up part of your time for your family time, for the God that you love. The God that brought you out of darkness into light. There's a great calling. There are many others who are in darkness. There are people waiting today and seeking the person, one person to come. They are waiting for to see somebody from here to go out and release that word, and that word will become right. And I pray that you'll answer this call. It's a timely call, for God has got the next 3 years. You will see the earth shaking. I know God is going to shake every part of the world, so that every man and woman will come draw near to Him. From the east to the west, north to the south, it's going to shake. Let's rise up for the time. Let's rise up for the time. Be prepared. Focus. You are in this ship, in this boat of this church. Focus and let's move. God has given me a burden. We will start a Bahasa Malaysia service. I'm not good in Bahasa Malaysia, but I'm going to do it here in this church. And those who are for it can come. Can I attend 2 services? We'll have one in the morning. Because the young people, I understand, when I preached the other day, I had to get an interpreter to interpret my message. They don't understand English, the young ones. We got a Bahasa Malaysia person. Pastor Andy was able to translate for me. So otherwise, I will not be able to reach. We have to get ourselves ready. The harvest is plenty, but the workers are few. Brothers and sisters, I pray that you'll rise up. Yesterday, one brother was with me, and they were testifying in the time of uprise in Indonesia. This place called Lombok. Every one of them has to come out of the place because the amount of Mohammedans, or the Islamic move, was so great to kill and to rape people at a time. They had to move out from that town. The last time Indonesia went through a problems. It's a political problem driven by religiosity. And I pray we will stand up right now and be with the people who need us. Amen? Amen? So we have to answer a call. What is your call? What is your responsibility? What do you want to be involved in? Would you like to keep the integrity? The integrity is important. A godly man has got godly visions and godly integrity. A man says yes, yes, no, no. Don't commit and walk out halfway. There are people who walk out halfway because they disagree with the leadership. I only follow, this church has got to follow what God speaks, not what I speak. Amen? And so it's important for us to see what is the integrity is important. Whatever ministry we take, the integrity is not only in your workplace, in your family, in your social life, also in the church. Amen. And it's also important that you also not only the give up just because the pastor says, no, it's an excuse for me to stay here because I've got a problem in the house. I want to be here all the time. So I don't want people who got problem in the house and come and become a shelter place here. Mend your problems at home. You can't bring them here. We'll mend it out for you. Then we'll see. We'll work together for the ministry of God. Amen? Amen? So we have to be all the time, everywhere, we have to be right. What is the opposition that you have in your ministry? What is the opposition that you have as a Christian in your workplace? What is the opposition that you have in your house, in your family? What is the opposition you have in your schools? What is the opposition you have in your social life? What is the opposition that you have in the church where you are? There's nothing God cannot deal with. If Nehemiah can be put and he can build the wall within 52 days, surely God can help us today if the mind is right, if unity is right, and Lord will do something next year and the year after next year. There are so many doors open for this church. I'm sad because I've got to go alone. It's sometimes very tiring. Very tiring. The last trip I went and I came back and I had to come back again to Kuala Lumpur. And night I come back at 12 o'clock and at early morning, 3 o'clock, I take another flight to go back to Indonesia again because there's an urgency to call. It's tiring. But I pray that we can disciple, we'll have more people to go out. When we say more people, they will walk in the Lord. They will see the Spirit of God. They can do some signs and wonders and miracles. And they will call you back and say, we need people like this, come and teach us. That's what you want. Probably some of you are bored with me. I've been teaching here. But I know God has got to repeat the word again and again so that God can drum in the word into our heart and our ears. It goes down to our heart so that we can start moving. We are too comfortable in our lives today. Comfort zone is too much. That's why we feel it's okay. It's okay. It's okay. Come to church. It's nice air conditioning. It's comfortable here. I want you to go to a church where there's no air conditioning. It's hot sun in the afternoon. And you start preaching and you see what happens to you. Go to a place where at night it's so humid, it's so hot, and you start preaching and you'll see the word of the people are hungry, and yet you need to give them the food. As you start preaching, you'll know what happens to your body. And I pray that God will give you that compassion to move forward. And we will have many, four mission trips next year, mostly focused in Sabah and Sarawak. I don't want to go out of Sabah and Sarawak for a while. Because God says He's going to visit Sabah and Sarawak again. He's going to visit again. And that fire is going to happen. If somebody catch the fire and bring it here, can you just imagine? You radically, as a Christian leader, as leadership, a radical leadership of a Christian leader will be shown in this place. Amen. It's not a pastor, it's about you. Amen. Praise God. Wonderful. So I pray, Father God, that you gave us a vision. And the vision, Lord, is powered by our compassion. Our compassion, Lord, is what we, Lord, even in the times of your Lord, we are dismayed. We are, Lord, disheartened. Or we are tired. The compassion will fire up the vision, Lord. Lord, we pray for the compassion and the vision that you've spoken to us, Lord. That as the Lord, Peter, and all the disciples of yours, when they gathered together, when they said, Lord, you multiplied, Lord, the food, not in front of you, but not in their hands, but Lord, as they gave out the food, the multiplication took place, Lord Jesus. Lord, we pray for the same multiplication in this church and your ministry, that no man's name shall be exalted, but your name shall be exalted all the time. And you are the worker, you are the harvester, and no one can move without you, Lord Jesus. Let all of us be used, Lord, in this church. Every vessel in this church be used, be filled by you, be taught by you, and be used by you. In the most precious name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.